And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need. Hey. When a posse drunk, hit the deck.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo, TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your ba-boom.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in, center stage on the mic.
And we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what do?
We got people what they want.
Coming to you live from Pier 17, the South Street Seaport, and brought to you by Heineken. Jalen Rose, who is joining us on the show later today?
It's a family affair.
Who's joining
us? It's a family affair. Young Jeezy, the snowman.
Snowman?
Will be in the building. TM 104 comes out this Friday.
Is that it, though?
Dre Rotimi from Power will be here today. And I'm going to see the premiere at MSG tonight. And I'm begging you to go with me.
I'm coming. Can I get permission from my wife? That's all.
Yes.
All right. More news about Antonio Brown and his helmet. The latest is that he's now filing another grievance with the NFL so he can wear his old helmet. This time he's saying that he was not given enough heads up, enough time to find a replacement helmet.
Enough heads up. I like what you did there.
Didn't even mean to. Jalen, why didn't he just wear the new helmet and move on?
Well, he's going to.
That's a good point.
You know, as a member of the media, I learned not to get too caught up in the details about something that I feel like I see a solution that's going to take place. This guy from Liberty City in Florida, He ain't about to walk away from $30 million guaranteed dollars because of a helmet.
No.
Okay, I ain't breaking no news by saying that. So whatever happens between now and the first game, for me, it's about him expressing himself and the right to play in the helmet that he's played in. For those that don't know, in high school, in college at Central Michigan University, and in the NFL. I'm playing this helmet. That's fine. But the problem with that is general manager and his coach want him on the practice field.
Yeah. And the NFLPA said, you know what? We kind of made this deal about these helmets, and that's what's happening.
So it almost seems like he's turned into a veteran player that's like, you know what?
Say it.
It's preseason?
Say it.
I'm good.
Because that's kind of what it seems like to me.
I'm good.
Now, I'm just going to say something to a microphone based on very little evidence or knowing Antonio Brown. I think he likes his name in the news.
Love.
And I think he doesn't like playing preseason games and going to training camp.
How many people like going to practice? It's a training camp. Not as many to like playing in the game.
I think if you're a rookie, if you're in your second year.
Here's the deal. Raiders fans and the organization, a lot of people are going to ask this question. Should they have buyer's remorse? No.
Let's reserve judgment on that.
You brought him in for the three things that I'm about to acknowledge. Number one, a level of relevancy for a team we know ain't going to the playoffs. We still leading our show with their squad.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you want to see if Derek Carr is going to be your franchise quarterback moving forward. Almost like Dallas did with Dak and Amari.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you Antonio Brown. By the way, people sleep on the fact they already gave him $100 million. Okay? We'll give you Antonio Brown and see if you're an elite quarterback. The third thing Antonio Brown is going to bring to the table, if the season goes bad, everybody going to blame him.
Oh, I like that.
They act like he played all.
You know who's happy about all this?
53 roles.
You know who's happy about all this? HBO executives.
Correct.
Because I'm watching Hard Knocks. Oh, I'm watching every minute of Hard Knocks. When you have this kind of level of drama around the training camp that just has to be featured on HBO with Hard Knocks, I'm watching.
And their owner, Mark Davis, I love him. John Gruden, I love him. But we all know the Raiders ain't going to the playoffs anyway. So whatever AB does in the preseason is basically irrelevant.
Sure. Well, we talked about Antonio Brown. Who are we going to talk about next? Oh, that's right. Ezekiel Elliott. Jerry Jones made a joke, a little Zeke who, little jokey joke. We've all seen it by now. Well, I kind of find it funny. But Ezekiel Elliott and his agent, Rocky Arsenault, did not find it funny. Rocky said, quote, "I didn't think it was funny. Neither did Zeke. We actually thought it was disrespectful. Jalen?
Yes, sir.
Was it disrespectful?
Absolutely. I took offense to it initially when I heard it, and here's why. I've negotiated a lot of contracts in my life. One of the things that usually happens is it becomes personal. Because you feel like you deserve this. And somebody else tells you you deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. So now you have a, they don't appreciate me. They don't know what I bring to the table. Okay. Usually you want that to stay off wax. When your owner is now saying after the rookie fourth rounder, and I'm being sarcastic, runs for 16 yards.
Tony Pollard.
In a preseason game.
Tony Pollard balled out.
I'm an all pro. Okay. I led the league in rushing. Therefore, somebody's going to pay me top dollar to play football. Put some respect on my name. Don't be like Zeke, who just because I'm holding out like I ain't a part of the team. I'm still on the squad. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole owner, white guy, player, black guy. Don't love that term anyway, owner. I'm not going to go there. But let's just go to Jerry Jones, who's a stiff negotiator. People always point back to what happened with Emmett. So many youngsters out here. Emmett didn't hold out. Emmett contract expired the year prior, and they didn't come to an agreement, so therefore he didn't play till he got a deal. Zeke is holding out. And while he's holding out, you want the Jerry Jones, who's been in a room making sure the owners kept a hard salary cap, okay, but then walks out to the media and said, oh, if I had, I'll just pay the players whatever if I could.
Yeah, of like, course.
This money, his son,
my hands
money,
are tied.
This money ain't going back to the Jones family, is what Steven said. But he was the main person standing on the table for the rule to take place. So if I'm Zeke, I do feel like it's disrespectful, and I had that tone soon as I heard it.
There's been a lot of discussion, not just about Antonio Brown and Ezekiel Elliott in the NFL. There's been a lot of discussion about the partnership between Jay-Z and Roc Nation and the NFL moving forward. The latest is from Dolphins wide receiver Kenny Stills, who had some strong words about this. Let's listen.
It doesn't sit right with me. He could have reached out to Colin. He could have reached out to me. Some of the ways that, you know, he answered his questions, talking about we're moving past kneeling, like he would, like he ever protested. I never, he's not an NFL player. He's never been on a knee. You know, just choosing to speak for the people like he had spoken to the people. I noticed that I wonder how many common people that he knows or that he's spoken to. I wonder if he's read, you know, my Facebook comments or my Instagram comments or some of the things that people say to me. To be able to speak on and say that we're moving past something, it didn't seem very informed.
I need something to stop.
What's that?
These individuals who seem to care so very much about the culture going back and forth in the public about it. Does not get us closer to the goal. And I know there's going to be a couple of people out there saying, I've seen you disagree with people publicly. It wasn't about politics and it wasn't about activism. Okay. These are all people who are trying to make a sacrifice to plant a seed to create a harvest. Each one of them. Okay. I want to start with Colin. What Colin did was so very noble. When we start to look back at the landscape of influential athletes in sports, by the way, we keep it 1,000 in this room. Some of my faves, way before he ever took a knee, were hanging, right? Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell. He's going to get mentioned with them. That's phenomenal. Okay. So what did he have to sacrifice, unfortunately, for him in the process? Watch so many terrible quarterbacks get paid to go under center every Sunday, Thursday, and Monday. He sacrificed, unfortunately, his career. Why? Because of the position he plays. If he was a receiver like Kenny Stills, a defensive back like Eric Reed, I think he'd be in the league.
Probably.
Because since he plays that prominent position that becomes the face of the franchise, owners are uncomfortable for giving him an opportunity. So basically, as I like to use the term, he got whiteballed out of the league. So now with him out of the league, how does the movement continue to have amazing steam? I applaud Eric Reed, ride or die, with Colin and about the movement. And on this show, when he got a job, there was nobody happier than me. Nobody. Kenny Stills, whether he's talking about activism, whether he's taking a knee, I salute these brothers because it takes courage to take a stand. And I see so many people talking about this topic, and I'll challenge you, before you say one word about somebody else and what they're doing and what they're not doing or what you think they should be doing, where your foundation at? When the last time you gave back to the community and you wasn't getting paid? That's what I would ask people before they even comment. So now he made that sacrifice and he cost himself his career. He's out of the NFL now. I'm happy that Nike still supported him and gave him a check.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy that he got his buyout and his settlement. I'm happy. Deserved it. I wish he was still they just hired Josh McCown. I was working with him on GetUp 2 weeks ago. He's 40 years old. Like they bring him to give him a job. So we know what it is. So now what's next? Enter Jay-Z. He's in the room. If he got the ear of Roger Goodell, if he got the ear of Robert Kraft, if he could get the ear of Jerry Jones, now all of a sudden the movement that you sacrificed for has extreme momentum when we have a seat at the table. That's what he's going for. So I would tell all people to reserve judgment because a couple of years ago on this show, we talked about Sean Combs' tweet about owning a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know who responded to that tweet and said he wanted to be a part of his ownership group? Colin Kaepernick. So I would like to ask people, if we're going to be 1,000 about this and you say you've been ride or die with Colin, that means you haven't been watching any NFL. That means you have not been buying their merchandise over the last couple of years. The only two people that probably can say that is him and Nessa. Okay? So all of us, in one way, shape, or form, we so-called crossed the picket line.
That's fair.
Okay? So I would like to see, of the social activism that they alluded to, if it takes place. I believe Jay is the guy, not a sayer.
I think reserve judgment is the right stance here. It's like, let's just see what Jay-Z and Roc Nation are able to do in this partnership with the NFL before we get too critical. Jalen, what's your favorite television show?
Power.
Who's on the show next?
Drea be here.
Drea from Power is going to be here.
Drea
Bro
be
Timmy,
here. Drea
the
be
actor,
here.
The artist, the musician is going to be in studio with us.
Yo,
in advance
I hope
of
he don't
the premiere
owe 50 some money.
Of Power.
I hope he don't owe 50. I don't want him IGN me.
So once upon a time, I bought a couch. And I was just so surprised at the process. You go to the place, you look at the couch, you're like, hey, I like this couch. They're like, what color do you want? You're like, I'll take this color. And then you pay for it. You know, it's so expensive. And they're like, yeah, yeah, we'll get that to you in about 3 or 4 months. It's like, what? That industry needed to change, and Burrow is the company that changed the industry. Burrow sofas feature naturally scratch and stain resistant fabric. You know what's important to me because I have those kids. Sturdy hardwood frames, durable, soft, non-toxic foam cushions. They even have a USB charger. This is the new way to purchase and enjoy the furniture in your home. They have clever design that makes it easy to set up, easy to move, easy to add or remove seats as you need. And here's the thing. At Burrow, they have 1 week shipping and it's always free. They stand by their furniture with a risk-free 30-day return period. So you'll have the furniture in a week, and it's free. And you can return it if you are unsatisfied within a 30-day window. Give your living room the upgrade it deserves with a Burrow sofa. Get $75 off a new sofa and free one-week shipping by visiting burrow.com/Jacoby, burrow.com/Jacoby. You get $75 off a new sofa. You don't have to wait forever to get it. And it's got the best design, the best looking, the best feeling, the most durable furniture on the market. Go to burrow.com/Jacoby. Get your free shipping and your $75 off right now. We welcome in Rotimi, or as you may know him.
Yes, indeed.
Dre from Power.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Big week for you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, bro.
Big week for you this week.
Yes.
With Power coming out.
Yeah.
I don't think you really understand what a big fan is sitting to your right now.
Man, I love it, man. This is my brother.
Since day one.
Yeah.
Since day one, I've been trying to put people up on it that would listen. And by the way, he teases me about this all of the time. Yeah. What are the movies that I watch?
He only watches movies that feature people that look like him, not necessarily people that look like me. It just so happens. Or The Godfather.
Right? I love it. And everybody knows this. Probably joke that I've only seen 20 movies and I only watched like 4 or 5 shows.
I love it.
Okay.
And we made the cut.
Number one. Y'all, the standard.
Let's get
the
it.
The standard. I even got him watching.
I love it.
Yeah.
What can people expect from season 6?
Season 6, man, I feel like people are going to see the backstory of all the main characters.
Mm.
Like why they make the decisions they make, what they look like when they're at home, what their families look like. So it's like a deeper look into everyone, especially for my character. You see how Dre just is all about his daughter and will do anything for his daughter. And people, it changes the narrative for a lot of people this season.
That's important because it also felt like last season was a lot about the business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the different moves people are making, but now we'll understand the people that are doing the business.
Yeah, and you understand why they want to do it.
So there's a Power event this evening.
Yes.
Say that again.
And y'all, it's not just like at a nightclub. You know what I mean? It's not in an office or someone's house or whatever. Yeah. Where is the Power event this evening?
Madison Square Garden.
The most famous arena in the world.
That's how big this show has become. Bro, the natural progression has just been sick, bro. It's been sick.
How did you first get put on Power?
I auditioned like everybody else, you know. But the thing was, I did a show called Boss before Power, and Courtney, who created Power, she was creating the show while she was watching me on Boss, and she remembered my face, and she was like, yo, I want to have this kid in my show, and she was just creating Power. So 2 years later, I was a free agent, basically, and she was like, yo, like, I really want you to work. So she kind of manifested it before it even happened.
Is it true that Boss was your first audition?
Yeah.
So you got your first audition. You know how many actors are listening to this right now?
Wow.
You know how many people are salty at you right now listening to this?
I know, yeah. I went to Northwestern University, mm-hmm. so, like, I was a college kid and just an artist at the time. And I didn't have any money, man. So my manager was like, yo, just go get a commercial. I ended up walking in and basically booking my first show and became an actor that day. Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Educated, very talented. Welcome to the program. For everybody that has heard me speak into a microphone, they know Power is my favorite show.
Yeah.
And not to do any spoiler alerts. But with a new season starting, I want to give you a chance to look back and reflect on your favorite scenes or maybe your favorite season. Like, when you look back to get people excited about what's going to start happening at 12:01 this Saturday. I'm one of those people. 12:01.
Oh,
12:01. I'm done. 12:01. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get everybody to binge watch.
Smart too. Yeah, catch up on everything. I think for me, season 5 was a breakout year for my character. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like everybody just saw what I could do, and it was like a Ghost Point 2.0 kind of vibe. And then just the rise and fall of Dre is so compelling to me, man. And there's a specific scene actually in season 4 where it was me and Joe Shakur, who plays Tommy. And that was the first time I actually got mad in the scene and stayed mad for like an hour.
Wow.
I was like, yo, just get away from me, bro. Like, don't talk to me right now. He's like, no, it's over, you know? That's when I was like, okay, I've graduated as an actor, you know? Cause that's when you start realizing, okay, this is really who you start to embody. But I think season 6 is probably going to be my favorite because you get to see the human side of Dre. Like, you see the father side of Dre. Like, you see, like, him just grow up as a man. You see why he makes the decisions he does for his daughter.
I said this off wax, but I have to say it on wax.
Yeah.
How did you feel one night you went to bed?
Yeah.
You had Ghost, Tommy, and Kanan your neck.
The man.
You were the godfather.
The godfather. I don't think anybody else has ever had that moment.
Correct.
On the show.
Correct.
No.
So it was just like, man, like the writing room loves me. I'm a special guy.
But it also villainized you a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like when you're out in the streets, do people kind of like keep that energy when they talk to you?
Well, it's sometimes, but it's like, I do so many different things too. Like I do a little comedy with the Bullets guy. I do Dre. I do the music. So it's just like, man, you just dope. And I love the fact that as an actor, man, if you can make people feel anything as an actor, you've done your job. And Courtney gave me the opportunity. She was just like, listen, do you want to be a Ghost 2.0 or do you want to be a villain? And this is season 3. And I was just like, honestly, there's already an Amari Hardwick. There's already a Ghost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me create my own legacy. Let's do the villain thing. So that was just like a moment like, let's just go. Let's just do it.
So you mentioned Butterscotch.
Yes.
Explain to our listeners.
Yes.
They might not be familiar with the legend that is Butterscotch, exactly who Butterscotch is.
So sexy Nigerian Butterscotch. You got to say it like that, my brother. You know what I mean?
You know I can't say it like that.
Nah, I'm first generation Nigerian, and the power thing was so powerful at one time, no pun intended. It was so big at one time. I didn't want to get boxed into just being Dre. So I wanted the people to see like what I do as a comedian and as a musician when it comes to my music. But I wanted to take everybody out that element of Dre, and just do something that I'm familiar with and put on a face mask and just, you know, be funny. So it was cool.
And there have been so many guys that I've saw almost lay a path for what I see you're able to do, because I see Jamie doing comedy, singing, you know, playing instruments. Yeah. You're doing the same thing in your own right. So, like, just talk about the phases that you have, because you're very talented, one of the most talented human beings walking the earth.
Thank you, bro. You know, for me, it was just all about timing. I've been singing, playing the violin, piano, and all type of instruments my whole life.
Wow.
Got into acting because I just needed some money and ended up actually enjoying it and loving it. And so now having like a number one R&B album and being on a number one show, like,
say, hit the break. Say that again, bro. For the people in the back.
Hey, so you know, my project Walk With Me is the number one R&B album, and actually now being on the number one TV show, it's an added pressure, but I love it, and I'm finally living in my truth, man. Like going to do these shows, to be on Power. And then you go in to see my actual concert right before, which is sold out. Then you go home and watch me on TV. Like that kind of is just like a feeling of I can't explain, man. And Jamie's been a mentor. He was the first person to bring me in Hollywood.
Really?
Hey, that's crazy.
My genius will not be appreciated after I'm gone.
That's crazy, bro.
Jamie's a friend of mine.
Wow.
And you remind me of him.
Wow.
That's why I used him as an example.
Dog, how did that happen?
I was in a club.
This is crazy.
That's crazy. It's 2011. I was in a club with some friends, and he was filming Django at the time, and it was dark, so I didn't know. Somebody kept tapping me like, yo, I'm a fan of your work, man. And I'm like, okay, cool, bro. I didn't know it was Jamie. He was like, no, look at me. He looked at him. He was like, dude. And I realized who it was, and he was like, man, come to my house tomorrow and just let's talk. So I told, that's when he found out I did music as well, but he was just a fan of Boss. So when he found that out, he was just like, yo, you are literally my little brother, man. He was like, dope. Watch what happens in 5-6 years for you. And here we are, bro. Sick. That's crazy. That was the first person in Hollywood I actually met, was Jamie Foxx, and took me on a, that's sick, bro.
That is crazy.
That's sick.
You got your first audition you took, and then you got Jamie Foxx just tapping you on the shoulder in the club.
Yeah.
Man. Is Jamie the only dude with a Grammy and an Oscar?
Yeah.
Just think about that.
Yeah. Yes.
That's like Tom Brady and LeBron James.
Yes.
Being the same person.
Yes.
John Legend got a Grammy and Oscar.
But for music, was it?
Music, best song.
A song.
Yeah. Okay. An acting Oscar.
John Legend as well.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
He did.
Okay, cool. Good correction.
Yeah.
I bet there's a few, but it's a little different when you do it with the song category.
Yeah, he did with a song.
Because you get an Oscar for the music, it's different than an Oscar for the act.
It's like he kind of got two Grammys, but it's like,
exactly.
But it's dope though.
Jamie, of course, as an actor,
that's, man, he's literally the most talented man in the world, bro. Literally. Literally, him and Harry Belafonte.
Mm-hmm. He hosted the ESPYs 1 year when I worked on it, and a couple years actually, and just to watch him just kind of like go off the cuff.
Yeah, man.
Like to watch him do one take one way and then another take another way and then come up with his own new punchlines like right on the spot. It's just like, I felt like there was someone in his ear or something like feeding him this stuff. It was crazy.
And a lot of people don't realize that Jamie ain't his name.
No. It's Eric Bishop, man.
How about that?
Which is a dope name, too.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know this story. I'm pretty sure you know it. Is that he started calling himself Jamie because there was so many dudes lined up to get on stage. He wanted them to think he was a woman.
Yeah.
So he put a woman's name on a piece of paper. They was trying to balance men and women who go on stage. Wow. And that's how he got on stage.
Bro, genius. That's genius.
That's genius.
That's genius.
I didn't know that.
That's genius.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Certain people just got it, man.
So, you're a Giants fan.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, we got a chance to talk to you a little bit for the show. And you had some high expectations for the New York Giants this year.
I'm calling it.
What are you calling? Say it into the microphone.
Say it into the microphone. To the people, to everybody. 10-6 this year.
10-6.
10-6 this year.
10-6.
I'm telling you, man, I'm looking at our schedule and it's
a lot. Let's take a look at the schedule. Let's take a look at the schedule. We're going to look at the schedule. And that's like a loss, a win, a loss, a loss, a loss, a loss, a win, a loss.
Cowboys, you know.
The Cowboys are a pretty good team.
I mean, we can be all right.
We might not have Ezekiel Elliott.
We'll probably get the Bucks.
Right.
You got some chance.
We get the Bears.
But they do have Saquon.
Yeah, those ESPN games are going to be tricky. But listen, it's
a lot of hit and miss.
You've also got this. Baker Mayfield came out.
Yeah.
GQ is like, I don't understand why the Giants would even draft Daniel Jones.
Wait, he said that today?
In
he
GQ? Well, you know, GQ, they do the interview like a couple of weeks before. Because this is my guy, Danny Dimes. Look at Danny Dimes.
He's tough, bro. It's the Porzingis. It's a Nick thing, a New York thing, man. It's the same thing with Porzingis.
I like this.
I love
the same
where you're
thing
going.
About Porzingis, man. So now everybody's like, no, Porzingis. No, it's going to be the same exact thing for Jones. He's the truth, bro. I'm telling you, we have foresight. New York City has foresight. I promise you.
Thank
you.
So many people have been on this show from New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Fat Joe, Jadakiss, Jim Jones.
Yeah.
They were disappointed the night that he got drafted.
And
how did you respond when you knew the Giants drafted him?
I was shocked.
You had to Google him first.
I had to go Google him. I went to YouTube. I said, pull up highlights 2018. You know? And I mean, it was like, they must know something we don't know. And I saw this again with the whole, it's a different sport, but I saw it with the Porzingis thing.
Mm-hmm.
They must know something we don't
Great
know.
Example.
So let's just see what it is. And he's balling the first game, 5 for 6. He's tough.
He's looked good.
He's looked good. He's comfortable.
I'm glad you went there because here's how preseason works.
Yeah.
If you play well, people try to dismiss it.
Right.
If you play bad,
then
it's like you're a bust already.
Exactly. Right.
So I agree with you. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, as somebody that has the number one pick in an important fantasy draft.
By important, he means expensive.
Expensive. $10,000.
That's what he means.
Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
And Saquon is the number one overall player on the board.
Yeah.
He plays with your Giants.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I think may end up happening, kind of like Ezekiel Elliott, eventually he's going to ask for his money.
Right, 100%.
So do you have any fears that might affect this year and or possibly the future season? Or you think the Giants going to step up and get it done, unlike Dallas?
They have to. Saquon is the savior of the Giants. You know what I mean? And because they're still trying to figure out what's going to happen with Jones, you still need it's a business. You still need somebody who's going to sell tickets. And Saquon is the only thing really right now that's a guarantee that will sell tickets for us. So I think they're going to definitely give him his money.
He's going to go crazy.
He's going to go crazy.
He is. He really is. Like,
running,
you know what?
Catching. I don't know about 10-6. But 8-8, I can see that.
8-8?
You know what I mean? I can see that.
I feel like two games could go either way.
Sure.
So get the 10.
Sure.
I learned not to laugh at people's NFL predictions. Because four teams for the last 30 years that made the playoffs 1 year didn't make the playoffs
the next. Right.
Four.
Right.
So it's four teams that made the playoffs this year that ain't making it next year.
Wow.
So who knows?
Who knows?
Do you think Daniel Jones starts four games this year?
Yes.
Yes, I believe
that.
I think maybe even more. I think
the way he played,
I think so too. He's tough. If we start slow with Eli, I think they'll make the switch.
So you used to play some hoops.
Yes, yes.
You know, coming up, high school hoop star.
Yes, sir.
You mimicked your game after Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd, yeah.
Of the Nets.
Yeah.
Do you still get out there and play?
I do. It's more like celebrity games now. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But like, I definitely get in the on court, man. I feel like it's like, for me, I don't get to do too much. So like, just to relax and just go back to something that I've been doing since I was a kid and just laugh and genuinely like talk trash with my friends.
Yes.
It's important to have that balance.
There is nothing more fun than playing pickup basketball with your friends.
Yes. He plays in the league.
Oh yeah.
I'm slowly starting to get myself to where I can hoop.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can play some fun basketball in the future. That'd be a good look.
That would be fun.
You know what I'm saying? So. Curtis Jackson.
Okay.
Has a lot of hats.
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm.
He's been on this show.
Okay.
Looking forward to seeing that gentleman tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I know one thing about him.
Also known as 50 Cent.
Yes, sir.
Watching.
He doesn't mind loaning people money. Because when he does.
Yes, yes.
He's an amazing loan shark.
Yeah, yes, he is.
Going after his bread.
Yes, he is.
What do you say
yeah.
when you see those constant IG posts about him going after people?
And your name was in a couple of them.
Name was in it. You know, 50, first of all, 50 is a marketing genius. Mm. Like, I've never seen this before by anybody that can be that relevant for so long without even really putting music out. You know, and so.
Like George Foreman.
Yeah, like seriously. So for me, I have, so my project, my album came out. And so it came, it debuted at number one. And he called me and he was like, just watch what I do. And it was just boom, 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 boom. And the way he affects people is just brilliant, man. It's just so, it's ridiculous because he kept it at number, he kept my project Walk With Me at number one for another 2 weeks just for him saying what he said. And it was just crazy.
I'm homies with Michael Blackston, the comedian. He's doing it with him right now for his show. Cause I had to look deeper. I'm like, oh, I hope he don't owe 50 no money for real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, he's showing them love.
He's showing them love. Yeah, it's just brilliant, man. You so know you, what people want to see.
You mentioned Walk With Me.
Yeah.
So it's the number, was number one album.
Number one, yeah, R&B album.
And.
Tom, say that again.
It's the number one R&B album right now.
Ooh.
And Power is
the number one show on TV.
So tell us, I mean, everybody knows about Power, but tell us about Walk With Me.
So Walk With Me is really, I wanted to create a project that's a mixture of Craig David type of vibe mixed with Akon type of vibe. And because I'm not a first generation Nigerian, it's something just Afro R&B, but just feels really good to make people dance. So my single Love Rhythm is definitely top 30 on radio right now. So it's moving. So just want to wear it. Like you said, with 50, I just want to wear my hat and everything, man.
We got to talk about the NBA. There's been so much that's changed over the course of this summer. Mm-hmm. As you watched it all go down, mm-hmm. what did you think as like you saw Kawhi and Paul team up and Anthony Davis and LeBron team up? What do you think about the league this year?
I love it. I think it's going to be one of the most fun years in a very long time because you really don't know who's going to take it. Like, There's not a clear cut favorite of, oh, like Golden State and all that. It's like Clippers maybe, Lakers maybe. Then there's a couple other more teams that's the same thing, man. I think that's really exciting. I think that's really, really dope. Even Houston maybe, you know, so it's just different teams.
Houston, we have a problem.
Houston Rockets had James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Top three team in the West the last few years. He's been an MVP candidate. And then they add a guy that's been averaging a triple-double. The last couple of seasons in Russ, I've seen people actually try to act like this is going to be a negative thing.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to school people and tell them that's going to be phenomenal watching these two dudes ball because they bring it every night.
Yes, yes. And it's like they have a rapport with each other. So it's not like they're strangers. It's like we ball together and we both have something to prove.
And when you got
Westbrook wanting and Harden like with a chip on their shoulder this year. Like, they're the forgotten three.
Correct.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
The fact that it's that, they're going to show y'all this season for sure.
You know what? I'm not going to sit here and be like, I think the Rockets are going to win the championship, but I think I'm going to watch more Rockets games than any other team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm going to watch more when it's league pass and I see the Rockets are available. Like, I'm going to watch that because I want to see Westbrook and Harden on any given night.
I know. And when KD comes back, I'm excited for that too. With Kyrie.
Yeah.
That's going to be crazy.
That's crazy too.
Did you grow up a Nets fan? Because you were in New Jersey, right?
A Jason Kidd fan all day, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Jason Kidd, Kerry Kittles.
What about my man Keith Van Horn?
Keith Van Horn was tough.
He was.
Yo, people don't talk about him enough, man. He was tough.
And we own things on this show. Tell him why you love keeping it home.
Because
he's white.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Of course.
Yeah, he was tough with the high socks.
Of course, the high socks. He was like, swag. There was little hair, like gel in his hair and stuff.
Yeah.
I love Keith Van Horn. Dang. Of course.
People don't talk about it. He was tough.
Yeah, he played D2. Yeah. Threes. He was kind of like a stretch four.
He was strong.
You have to cover him?
Yeah, he was big, man.
Yeah, he's big.
6'9". Why? The Nets made it to... People sleep. The Nets made it to back-to-back finals.
Finals, bro. Finals.
In the early 90s when they were in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't too long ago.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
What was it?
Dang it, kid. I tried to play just like J. Kidd, man, in high school. I tried. It was pass first. I really couldn't shoot that well. But
neither could he at that point in his career. Yeah. Neither could he at that point in his career either.
Yeah, they're trying to hating on him, calling him acing.
I know. No, Jay?
Yeah.
That's fair, though. He deserved it. I want to talk about the event this evening because Jalen earlier today basically convinced me I have to go.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And when I saw where it was.
Have to.
Yes.
Madison Square Garden.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Madison Square Garden. And then it said you get your tickets at 5:30. Doors open at 7.
Yes.
And then it starts at 8.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like there's going to be thousands and thousands of people there.
No premiere in history
ever.
That's what I'm saying.
Premieres. This is a television show, dog.
Usually it's like, oh, let's go to like this movie theater on the Upper West Side and there'll be one screen.
Even if there's like a big theater where it's like 3,000 people or something like that. Yeah. This is the Garden. This is the first time in history, bro. You have to go.
How does it feel when you are in Manhattan, you walk down the streets and you just see the large billboard promotions?
Bro. That story.
Of the show.
I know. I remember when I first got to New York 5 years ago when I booked it, I sat in a diner maybe like two blocks away from that where my billboard is now, bro. And I said, yo, I want to overlook all these people one day. And to see that, it was so emotional when I saw that, bro.
It should be.
You know, because it was just like, I didn't even know it was going to be that emotional when I saw it. But when I did, it was just like, wow, like you actually worked for this. Like, and millions of people walk here every day. It pay off. It's crazy.
This isn't the last season, right?
You know, you got to tune in, brother.
This isn't the last
season. You know, one of the things I want to ask you while we're doing this, because, you know, you're talented, you're an entrepreneur. Can you just, for people... Because a lot of times, especially in the black community, young people feel like our way out is entertainment or sports.
Yeah.
But they don't understand the hard work and the sacrifices you make.
Yeah.
Can you just acknowledge that portion of what makes your life successful?
Oh, you know, first you have to have an incredible team. Like you have to have people that work and believe in the dream just like you believe. Then you got to put your 10,000 hours in, man. You got to study your craft. You got to be a wizard with it. You have to push yourself. I think a lot of people are scared of rejection. So I channeled myself to not be afraid of fear or anything like that. So when you aren't scared, you just realize it was all an illusion. You know, so like I pushed myself with the music. I pushed myself. Like there was one time, bro, on filming season 6 for a straight month, I was filming from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., then go to the studio from 11:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., go back to set 9. So I didn't sleep for about a month doing my project and the show.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I had to give up fun. I love hanging with them ladies, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I had to give up all of these things because I knew what the vision and the outcome should be. So you got to sacrifice. You got to want it more than anybody because everybody feels like they can sing, act, and
I appreciate you taking the time for our podcast listeners. We always like to give our podcast listeners something exclusive. The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear. More driven. Jalen Rose.
I'm pumped.
Preseason football.
Great show. And you look handsome today.
Thank you. Preseason football is in full swing. Jimmy Garoppolo got his first action out there. Didn't go great for Jimmy G. Did not go great. He was 1 for 6. His only completion was a pass that was thrown behind the line of scrimmage. He threw an interception. There was another ball that probably should have been interception for a pick 6. He said that he was a little rusty. How concerned would you be if you were a 49ers fan right now about Jimmy G?
I would be concerned about his rust because he missed the entire season due to injury. I will be more concerned about his ability to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that people keep talking about is, yeah, he was pegged by Belichick to fill in once Tom Brady got older and he was going to be the guy that took over at the quarterback spot. If Belichick wanted him that bad, he wouldn't have traded.
Kept him probably, yeah.
So, and then people are like, well, Robert Kraft, you know, had to intervene because Tom Brady said, Bill Belichick would have quit in my opinion, before he let Robert Kraft tell him what to do with the 53 men in uniform. That's just my opinion. And so, as he let him walk, and he let Jacoby Brissett walk, it made me feel like that he probably didn't necessarily think his heir apparent, after less than 10 starts, was worth $120 million. But the 49ers did. So instead of having four games to start when Brady was out, he only started two. Why? Because he hurt his shoulder. So now you go to San Fran, play five games at the end of the year, you win them all, they give you a big deal, then you tear your ACL. So I will be concerned about that more than preseason games and statistics.
Every year in the NBA, they do a rookie survey. They ask a number of rookies sort of what they think about the league and where they are. And there are a couple interesting results this year. Number one, the rookies were asked which one from their rookie class will have the best career. And you would think the number one overall pick, Zion Williamson, would get a bunch of votes. Nope, 5%. Cam Reddish at 19%. Ja Morant, DeAndre Hunter, RJ Barrett. Not there. What do you think about this?
A couple of things. Usually players vary how serious they take these surveys. Some more serious than others.
Sure.
So I got to acknowledge that.
I'm just voting for my homeboys if you give me this one.
The other thing is also players know your strengths and weaknesses. Because not only have they played with and against you, they also seen your scouting reports.
Mm-hmm.
And in playing a lot against Cam Reddish to me in high school makes me think that 1 year at Duke where he became near third best player, that a lot of his peers think he was overshadowed by them.
Yeah.
And if you look at the people that went in front of him, he does something uniquely that none of them do. He's a knockdown shooter. And so I understand if everybody's taking this serious, why they would consider that. But the bottom line is this. It got to be Zion number one.
We'll see.
But this is why they are doing a survey.
We'll see. We'll see. They also did another question on the survey I want to talk to you about. They asked these young players. Remember, these are young men, 19, 20, 21 years old.
And a little Zion hate and fatigue.
Of course. They asked these young men who their favorite player in the NBA is. Take a look at those results. Number one up there, LeBron. He's LeBron. Kevin Durant, 20%. Those two dominated. Kawhi Leonard had a big year this year, so that might just be some recency bias. Dame Lillard's always a fan favorite. Steph Curry, two-time MVP, one-time unanimous MVP, easily one of the best players in the league, not up there. What does that tell you?
That tells me there's a reason why Rotimi, Jacoby, Jalen, Jeezy, everybody's happy about this upcoming season. Why? No super team.
Yep.
Same thing I said about Zion, insert Steph Curry. A fatigue. You've been in the finals 5 straight years. Won a couple of championships. Everybody knows that the Warriors have been the wave. But also, there has to be something said about the fact that you can't really duplicate what Steph Curry has been able to do. Because as a unanimous MVP, as a guy that can pull from half court, as much as you want to emulate him, in a lot of cases, you probably shouldn't or you can't.
Yeah, it's probably not a good idea.
Because for you, that's a bad shot.
Yes, yes.
So there's a reason why Rotimi and Jeezy and Jacoby's happy. A little Warriors fatigue.
Absolutely. I'll admit that. We welcome back.
Family.
Jeezy.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for joining us,
back in the studio. Appreciate you coming through. Appreciate you coming through again.
I could not wait. This is my favorite stop thus far.
Of course, we're going to talk about your new album. We're going to talk about all the projects you have going on in businesses. But it is that type of year when we're going to talk about the Falcons.
In the summertime.
Oh,
you're going to do him like that?
No, everybody's hopes are high in the summertime. Everyone's undefeated right now.
Yeah.
But what are your realistic expectations for your Atlanta Falcons this year?
I mean, listen, man. I love the Falcons, but going to that last Super Bowl and, you know.
Oh, no.
I forgot what happened
when the Falcons were in the Super Bowl.
Right. Me too, by the way. Case of amnesia. I mean, I love Atlanta. I love all our teams, man. I just feel like, you know, we support them, you know, a lot, but it's just like, you know, we got to bring something home. I don't care if it's the Falcons, the Hawks, or the United.
The MLS team won.
But what was, you brought that Super Bowl, what was it like watching your squad have a big lead?
I had one of my best friends with me, like, he begged me to go, so he's like a real football head, and he talked so crazy to these Patriots fans the whole game. Cause we was up. I go to the bathroom and come back. I'm sitting there talking to Luda, Tip, and we all planning parties. When we
of course.
Back, yes. We'll throw this big celebration.
The parade.
And Luda looked at me and said, let me tell you something, man. Tom Brady ain't nothing to play with, man. Let's just wait before we start getting excited. And I had to perform, like, and I'm gonna say this. I had to perform for the friends and family of the Falcons after the game.
What was like?
A funeral.
Wow.
Because it was like, you know, I was excited because it was, you know, in the whole time, I'm like, yo, this is gonna be crazy. We about to bring the Super Bowl home. And man, they gave it back, and I never forget. I tried to leave a little early to beat traffic, technically, but I was trying to get out of there because my man was messing with the Patriots fans. And TMZ called me outside. It's like, where you going? I was like, I'm trying to beat traffic.
Oh no!
Like,
oh, no!
The whole story. Oh no! Jeezy leaves the game early, in spite of Falcons upset.
That is crazy.
Did you perform after the game for the team?
Yeah, I did.
You just kind of low key, just got mumbling your lyrics.
All six of them. Dope room set up, and it was supposed to be like this big celebration, but I get it. You know what I'm saying? You know, champions, you know, never quit, man. But it's just like, we got to bring some home to Atlanta.
And there's been some reaching. The NFL was in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. It was a great time, and I'm pretty sure everybody enjoyed it. But now there's been a little controversy that's been sparked. We know about Colin Kaepernick being out of the league the last couple of years, the stance that he took, the eye support and kneeling. Now Jay-Z with Roc Nation is partnering with the NFL. And there are a lot of people with various opinions about that.
Right.
What did you think when you first heard about them partnering?
Oh, man, I feel like this. I feel like, and we love Khaled. You know what
I'm saying?
No doubt. I feel like that was his stance. You know, and I talk to him from time to time, and I respect him for taking his stance. I just feel like at this point, I know Jay personally, it's got to be some type of you know, thought out. I don't think he would just jump out. I wouldn't hope that he would do that. So until we see his actions, I don't think we should be able to judge. Until now, if we walk away and say, you know, that ain't what we thought was going to happen, that'd be different. You know what I'm saying? But like, we got to see somebody. We got to have one foot in, because other than that, we on the outside as a culture.
Correct.
We don't have anybody in, and it's just like if I'm gonna take a stance on something, and another thing too, like I don't never think Jay's been an activist.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I know I have in certain aspects. So let's just see what the end goal is, and then we can make our decision. And then you never know, him and Colin Kaepernick might sit down and come up to some type of terms. I mean, if it was me, I would get the team and, you know, give him 2-3% and make him an owner. You know what I mean? But that's just me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So let's see. But I know it's been a lot of controversy about that. Which is crazy.
There has. I think it's a really good point. Like, let's reserve judgment. Let's not judge the press release. Let's judge the actions. Or let's judge the years of work that this partnership develops, and not just the press release and in the initial interview.
But by the way, just coming from where we come from, and if you really want to take another stab at it, even if it was done that way and the end goal is bigger, I think it was clever to bring a lot of attention to it that way. Because now you got eyes and ears. So just make your next move your
everybody
best move.
Watching everybody and listening now.
Yeah, and that's a tactic we use, you know, if it's time to put an album out, if it's time to make a move, like, you get every, I mean, by the way, and I got to be real, like, he didn't do a Kanye. He didn't go put on a MAGA hat.
No.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I was done with that when I saw it. So I'm at least
facts on facts. We took him off our podcast intro.
Right. So I'm going to at least wait and see how this plays out before I could do that. But it's not a MAGA hat. So I got to respect that.
And one of the things I know won't happen again based on this partnership is you won't have a Super Bowl in Atlanta and not really celebrate Atlanta music, you know, because Atlanta music has become the epicenter of hip hop over the past couple decades. What's it been like for you, someone who's been in the game a long time from Atlanta, to watch this shift, this evolution Atlanta taking over?
Man, it was crazy to see how the Super Bowl played out, because I feel like there's so many staples in the community when it comes to the culture. I don't think they understand that, you know what I mean? But it was the two teams that didn't really represent the culture like that. So I get that part, but it's still Atlanta, Georgia. So you gotta, it's like you go to New Orleans and you don't go to, you know, to Bourbon Street. Like, it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Or you don't go and see the beads, and that's the New Orleans culture. So when you come to Atlanta, you should see our culture. As far as where we at in, as far as music and movies, and I'm proud of the city, man. We came a long way because we only used to be known for strip clubs, so we're doing good right now.
Well, it's still known for strip clubs too. You know, y'all just making millions now.
But the thing I love about Atlanta, we as people, we always figure out how to go out and get it and bring it back to the city. Mm. You know, whether it's music, whether it's culture, like when you see these videos of people throwing money or drinking champagne out of the bottle, that all came from us. So it's like, when you come to, and by the way, you're from Detroit, so you know exactly how I go. Like,
no
you
doubt.
Go to Detroit, you want to see Detroit culture. Like, you don't want to go to Detroit and think you're in Kentucky. It doesn't work like that. So it's yep. the same way, like with Atlanta, like we bring it back. So I'm just excited to see, you know, young entrepreneurs in the city, you know, just go-getters and, you know, just movie cameras everywhere. It feels like LA.
Wow, just you talking about making it rain just brought back so many great memories.
I can remember a couple nights we was in there.
No, not about it. You care to tell us about those? You want to share some of those stories? Just give it back to the community. Doing some charity work.
We was doing nonprofit organizations.
Yes, that's all it was.
Philanthropy.
That's all it was.
Well, you mentioned entrepreneurs in Atlanta, and you are very much one. You know, you got your hand in technology and real estate and restaurants and music and studios and water. And just so much. What's it like to sort of, you know, be a successful entrepreneur yourself and also see the younger generation try to help them along?
I mean, for me, I'm all about, you know, blazing the trail, not following anybody's path. And, you know, when I got into this, I told them I was corporate thugging, Jalen. You know,
no doubt.
I mean?
That was, from day one.
That was my whole thing. I wanted to, and anybody that knows me knows that music is my talent, but business is my passion. Mm. So anything from Figures Wireless right here. So we got our own cell phone company.
Let's get it.
We have the earbuds that translate languages in real time in your ears. We have the flat screen TVs that you can watch any channel from any country. We have the Avion Tequila. We have what else we got? We got HD 99. There's just so many things that's going on that I'm excited about because the possibilities are endless when you're an entrepreneur and you're your own boss. So that's what I would kick to the youth. Like, ownership is what it's about.
Continue to elaborate on that part of
right.
it. Because that's what gets lost. And tell everybody where they can find all of the things that you're promoting.
Oh, so Figures Wireless, you can find it on at Figures Wireless. Shouts out to Freddie Figures, my partner. Defiance Fuel, you can find that. And this is a daily hydration solution. So this is for athletes. You can find this at the Defiance Fuel. For me, man, you know, just having ownership is being a part of something great and not working because you're trying to get money. And it's like you don't chase it. You let it come to you. You know what I'm saying? And building things from the ground up, you actually get a chance to see them blossom and grow. And it's something that you're really proud of. And it's just like you're not going in to punch a clock. But money, I feel like that's selling your soul. So I would preach ownership all day.
No doubt about it. Artist, entrepreneur, activist, TM104.
Yes.
This Friday,
but TM104.
I heard something that made me almost shed a tear.
Uh-oh. We got to talk about this.
Uh-oh. I know it's
You
coming.
Retiring?
I mean, look, I'm like you. I'm just trying to, you know, just broaden my portfolio.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So this is definitely my last studio album on Def Jam Records, which I've been on throughout my whole career. Mm-hmm. And also my last installment of Thug Motivation. And TM104 will be in stores this Friday. And it's The Legend of the Snowman. Anybody knows anything about me knows it. That's what they call me. And it's basically about my humble beginnings to now. And it's this transition that I'm making to keep, you know, blazing the trail for these, you know, these younger cats coming up. Cause what do you do when you do music, you know, 10, 15 years, and you can't let them box you in. You can't just be a, you know, great artist. You can't just be a great brother, great father. You could be a great anything. So that's what I'm on.
Well, thank you so much for coming by. You're welcome to come back anytime.
TM104,
The Legend of Snowman, out everywhere this Friday.
Make sure everybody binge listen. First off, go 101,
right.
102,
right. Get ready for it.
103,
get ready for it.
And like then on Friday, you ready.
It's like the Narcos.
Exactly.
You gotta watch all the scenes.
Exactly.
Jalen Rose.
Yes, sir.
Something was released yesterday that we must discuss. The AP poll for this upcoming college football season is
Hail
out.
Hail to the victors. Let's get it.
It is out right now. The Michigan Wolverines are undefeated right now. Undefeated.
But you look at this. You look at this.
Seven.
You see number one and number two. Two teams that we have seen battle for the championship year after year in the playoffs. Clemson, first time ever, number one in the preseason poll.
Clemson is going to continue to be a problem as long as they have Dabo and as long as they're in the ACC.
Trevor Lawrence.
Because if you think about it, while they're uniquely positioned to create a dynasty, split the last couple of championships with Alabama, and we know about the greatness of their program, and Nick Saban is going to always be in the conversation, they still have to go through the gauntlet of the SEC time and time again. And that puts you in position to every now and then trip up against Georgia or somebody else out there.
Do you see how hard the graphics department had to work on the bottom of the screen there just to put Michigan on there?
Oh, see how you see how hard like that worked?
Just to squeeze Michigan into like the lower third? How do you feel about the Michigan Wolverines upcoming season, Mr.
I like where we're positioned. Stay low, keep firing.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio State should be ranked ahead of us.
Oh, they are.
Until we beat them.
Wait, I'm sorry.
It should be.
When was the last time
I got a lot of
Ohio
respect?
State?
Hey, I got.
Has Jim Harbaugh ever beat Ohio State?
I'm starting to figure. Have I ever beat them? They've been beating us so long. I'm with you. Over the last, and I'm not making this number up. I think over the last 16 years, fam, they beat us 15
won.
Times.
They beat, but Michigan took one. I think it's the last 15 or 16 years.
Yeah,
Jim Harbaugh has never beaten Ohio State while he had the maize and blue on his head.
This is our year.
This is your year.
But they're good again. They got a great running back. Ohio State has a great quarterback. I like their coach. How about their coach is going to end up in the NFL? Remember, I popped that on here. That's going to be a broken news thing.
Jalen, what are you doing this evening?
Going to MSG.
Why is that?
Power!
I've never seen you more excited about anything than you are about the return of Power on Stars. I want to thank Young Jeezy for coming through.
Oh, you know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to ask 50 if he'll be my loan shark. I got a lot of people to owe me money.
Really?
Yeah.
Value you money?
No.
I probably do. Let's
be honest. No, you don't.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To Rotimi for coming through.
Thank
Young
you.
Jeezy coming through. We'll be back tomorrow, ESPN2,
you
at 2 p.m.
You are far too kind.